Nigel, thanks so much for joining me.
Yeah, good morning.
Now, firstly, Medicare numbers, can you tell us a little bit more about the information that has actually been released into the dark web?
So what was advertised was the ability to put in your name and your date of birth, and the person, or let's say persons behind it, would then provide the Medicare number associated with that name and date of birth. So it was just a complete picture so that one could transact either on that Medicare number, maybe to get prescription drugs or something similar, or perhaps to undertake identity theft.
Very worrying. Now, what are the risks of having your Medicare information freely available to be bought online?
Yeah, and that's the really difficult part of all this. And, you know, Medicare details, are obviously we guard them with our privacy, but of course we also understand that certain people, like the local medical practice, have to have access to them so that we can transact through them. What we're seeing, I think, is a compromise at that end user, someone or again persons who have access lawfully to the system but not to the individual records are transacting. And the result is probably going to be identity theft is what's going to be the result for what's reported to be the 70-odd people that have had their details divulged.
That's very scary. I mean, you mentioned that the notion that people at, like, the local medical practice do need your Medicare details. And I know sort of Medicare numbers are something which I have to, every now and again, give out willy-nilly. I had to read my Medicare card number out on the phone to the ATO the other day. Now, when we look at something wider scale like this, where there are a whole group of details that have been stolen, we do expect sort of government institutions, things like that, to have resources to keep sensitive information like our Medicare details safe. How is it that people are able to access these supposedly secure databases?
Well, because we're seeing people that have got, you know, lawful and legitimate access to that database, say the medical center, to do their day-to-day job. But what I'm thinking is happening in this instance is they've then taken an extra step and accessing other people's details through their lawful access, if that makes sense. So they're doing a general search. And this is where we're going to have to see throughout the investigation when it gets revealed what the audit process is behind, what people access and why they access and you know, what rights they've got.
If you're just tuning into The Daily this morning on 2SER, we're speaking with Nigel Fair, Director at Centre for Internet Safety at the University of Canberra, about how our sensitive information may be being sold on the dark net. Now, Nigel, with the government keeping more and more information about us, including, of course, the new metadata retention, which has just come in, are we likely to be seeing more and more of our personal information available for sale online?
It's a really interesting question, and I think we're just still at the precipice of a wave on this, as we obviously transact more and more online commercially, and, of course, the government wants us to transact with the various government departments. You know, we have the My Health record. It's been around some years now, but really it's got very limited uptake. And when you have these stories come out in the news, it's going to, you know, diminish people's desire to uptake these services. Because I think we will see over time more and more data for sale, personally identifying information. And we operate up 100 points of identity in Australia, and pretty easy to get someone's 100 points if you can get one big whack of it, like a Medicare details, in one go.
Yeah, well, I know, and there's one of the big things, I suppose, is you don't know now who and what to trust. Now, there's scams coming in via emails, there's scams coming via the phone as well. It's becoming a very difficult time. Now, at the moment, what would you recommend for people is the best way to know who to trust with their information and to keep themselves protected?
Yeah, and that's going to be the hardest part going forward, is that the who do you trust? Because it's got a .gov.au URL attached to it, you know, we by default assume that the government's going to do the right thing. And anyway, whether it's federal, whether it's state, territory, or even local, that they're going to do the right thing with our personally identifying information. So I think listeners need to start asking some questions with these organisations about what are the checks and balances, what are the audit processes, including right down to the local medical centre. But, you know, who to trust is going to be the hardest thing, and winning trust once it's diminished online is almost a nigh-on impossible task.
Well, is there currently anything that, now I know with the data, metadata retention, for instance, that there are a lot of fears about that, in terms of information safety with the number of, or the amount of information that internet service providers are now having to store versus the security that they have over this information. What sort of measures are being taken, at the moment to try and amp up online security for big organisations and through the government to try and prevent these sort of leaking events from occurring?
So from a private sector perspective, there's you know, some high-level guidance out there from various organisations about what makes good security and what makes good collection, retention and dissemination of persons' data. Of course, coming in February next year, we have the data breach legislation that went through Parliament this year and will be fully live mid-February 2018. And if an organisation that has a turnover of more than $3 million in that instance loses personally identifying information by whatever means, whether it's an insider attack, a hack, whatever it might be, they have to notify the customers involved and also the Australian Office of the Information Commissioner. So that'll be the next turning point in all of this, of how many organisations suffer breaches and then how many subsequently abide by the law and report those breaches.
Currently at the moment, when it comes to these information breaches before February, when that new legislation does come in, if information is breached, who falls liable for this?
Well, the organisation holding the organisation is liable and they're at fault. What we don't know in a lot of instances is what they do with that data, whether it's for marketing purposes, whether it's for on-selling or whatever it might be. So, you know, we're quite slow. Australia is a jurisdiction in data breach legislation. The whole concept kicked off back in 2003 in California, so some 15 years ago, and we're finally, dare I say, getting with the program.
Nigel, a huge topic to try and cover, and so very, very many questions now that online security is becoming more and more of a worry. Thanks so much for joining me this morning and just answering a few of those.
Pleasure. Good to be with you.